This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eschbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
It's the 919 Beer Podcast. Joe Ovius from 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina. Adam Eschbaugh and Wayne Holt from 919 Beer. We're actually out at Scratch Kitchen and Tap Room in Apex. It's a little bit different than the last time we were here, Adam. I think that was a time in which we did that. Remember when we used to do on-location beer podcasts?
Yes.
With people around and things like that?
At one time, we did one that was not...
It never existed.
It never aired. It's like the Black Tape series.
When we do our retrospective book,
I'd like to hear that one, because Wayne and I have a conspiracy theory that it wasn't canceled due to weather that night. It was canceled because the weather delayed us for about an hour and a half, and we all enjoyed a few beverages in addition to what we normally have.
No, that is not the reason why that
podcast... We were a little looser that evening than usual.
No, that is not the reason why that podcast got scuttled. That podcast got scuttled because there was a... Look, we're dealing with a little...
We totally don't believe anything you say about that.
We're dealing with a little noise today, because out here in Apex, they've got some construction going on.
It's Apex.
It's Apex.
The peak of good living.
It's the peak of construction right now, because there are so many people that
But we believe it exists. And it was just put in the vault because we were all just a little...
No, it did not. That's not true.
We were a little too tasty that night.
I listened to it, and it was unlistenable. So you get the low hum of a generator in the background right now. No. And the reason why I am right and you guys are wrong and there is no conspiracy is that, did we not just do a Ranch Water special one-off podcast a couple weeks ago?
Oh, the one you forgot you let your cat out?
Where I was...
Not even close to that night, though.
Toasted.
It really wasn't.
Yeah, maybe not.
It was one of us... was enjoying more ranch water than the other two. It was all three of us that podcast night, though.
I think you guys are missing a golden opportunity here to start your OnlyFans page and release this podcast that never happened.
That's Chris Allen, New Belgium. He's our guest today on the 919 Beer Podcast. And we've talked to Chris a bunch of times on the podcast.
But it's that time of year again. We have to talk to Chris.
It is. Although I feel like, and dude, props to you, man. You got like your whole Panthers gear on. You got the Omaha font hat, which is popular again.
So hot right now.
What?
And look, this is a sweatshirt without a hood. Check this out.
I know. The crew neck.
Yeah.
Crew necks
are
hot.
But it's an actual Nike sweatshirt. Like, it's
calling it now.
It's current.
Yeah. Calling it now. This is the year.
You look like me in seventh grade with a lot more facial hair.
Light my jeans are?
Your light, snug fit jeans.
Yeah. They're not
cuffed,
are they?
I've got my 997s on.
They're not cuffed.
I mean, if you had hot pink A6 gels, I'd and a flat top, you'd be me.
You should see these. I got some Nike hoverboards. I don't know if you guys have seen those.
I've seen those.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet.
You really have Nike hoverboards for real?
Yeah.
I got to talk to you about getting some.
Not the
self-lacing ones?
No, those aren't the hoverboards. These are hot pink, the hoverboard design.
Oh. Yeah. I misunderstood.
Those are Air Mags.
Okay, because Nike did with Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, 1,000 pair or something. Yeah.
As a charitable for... For
the Fox Foundation
his foundation, for Michael J. Fox's foundation, they come out with these self-lacing. What is it? They were called the Air Mags, right?
Air Mags,
that was the Air Mag, right? Yeah. So
they light up, self-lace.
I don't know. I gotta put you on finding me some 13s and those old waffle racers from back in the day. Those Nike waffle racers,
Prefontaines.
Yeah. We'll see what's up. Me and my big old flat feet could use those things. So. What's up with New Belgium these days, man? I just spent my weekend, this past weekend, crushing old Tuffies that you had dropped by, so...
Well, it's the Breakfast of Champions, and, you know, obviously, just speaking on old Tuffy, it's been just over a year. I think we surpassed our sales goal in 9 months for the first 12 months. It was hot. And it's still killing it. I think it'll finish as our number three brand in North Carolina.
That's what I was curious about, because it's one thing when tailgating exists.
Right.
And if you're at Carter Finley Stadium, like if you walked to any tailgate last year, you were going to see Old Tuffy.
Absolutely.
In a cooler, in a koozie, whatever. You were going to see it. So I was curious how that tapered off once we got out of the football and basketball season into the summer. And what the lack of tailgating has done with Old Tuffy, or are people just going, screw it, we're home tailgating, I'm still going to watch State, and I'm still going to drink Tuffy.
So we definitely saw a drop-off over the summer on it, and I think we saw it start a little bit early because of, you know, there was something that happened in March that it just can't.
What happened? What happened? What happened?
Where people
spring equinox.
Yeah, when kids weren't, you know, going and drinking together in massive groups.
Weird.
But they didn't drop too far off. Mm-hmm. And then over the summer, people were still buying a lot of beer. Old Tuffy did okay over the summer, but we expected a lull because there were no sports. There was no NC State tie. I'm not allowed to say that. There was no tie to, you know, Old Tuffy's team. But the load-in that we did last week going into the first weekend of football for them was pretty strong.
I bet.
And, you know, I haven't seen the pull-through. Today's Wednesday. I should know by tomorrow on what it did. But we anticipated being pretty strong. When I was going out finding it last week, I had a hard time finding it at places that keep displays of it all the time. So that's a pretty good sign.
Look, it's an easy drinking beer if you're going for quantity, which is what I was doing on Saturday. Because the setup we had with our backyard neighbor.
Oh, I saw that. That was, yeah.
Yeah, so nice. Our backyard neighbors went to state. Well, the husband went to state. Rick went to state. And he took this game against Wake Forest way more seriously than I did. I was just looking at
this. Well, that's because you hate NC State.
This is true. I was looking at it from the perspective of, it's a nice night. My Wi-Fi reaches out this far. Let's try to get these two games on, enjoy the evening.
And Saturday was like a perfect game to watch. Night to watch a game outside.
And if I'm gonna be settled down watching a bunch of football and still be about my be about it, well then yeah, Old Tuffy was the move.
Yeah.
And
based on social media, you weren't the only one that was drinking Old Tuffy outside, watching games outside.
Perfect.
We saw a lot of people on Instagram and Twitter who were tagging us and, you know, out by their fire pit with the TV put off the back porch, you know. Just enjoying life.
If Cardiff Finley Stadium allowed people to bring in their own fire pits, I think they'd actually stick around for the third quarter.
Ooh.
Or
Ooh.
Like one 12-pack per person. That would be an idea.
That would be good, too.
But you have to buy it from Cardiff Finley Stadium.
So, I joked about
still
that.
Still do it.
I actually joked about that on the air the other day. I said, look, I will buy Old Tuffy at Cardiff Finley prices if you let me bring a fire pit in for an 8 o'clock game.
That's fair. I got a Bluetooth fire pit. The best money I ever spent.
Send me the link on that.
Smokeless. It's a smokeless fire pit. It's amazing.
Send me the link on that. Send me the link on that. All right. So, Old Tuffy's moving. That's always good to see. But what do you guys have coming out of New Belgium for the rest of the year? What should people be on the lookout for?
Yeah. So, for the rest of the year, we're drinking Higher Plane now, which is the last Voodoo Rotator of the year. This brand has just killed it for us this year. It's up 91% over last year. We had a lot of fortunate bounces on this year. Some guy named Elon Musk tweeted a picture of him drinking a Starship IPA a few months ago. And that was,
and then the next day he named his child.
That was
Starship.
That was did he name his kid Starship?
No, he named his kid some weird thing that nobody can pronounce.
It was like a hex.
I'm saying he had too many starships and woke up and named it a weird name.
Well, so, before we get into what you guys are doing with Higher Plane IPA, what... For those who are not familiar with the Voodoo Ranger program, and you guys have clearly, you guys have gone all in on the character that's on the can and everything else. I think I have a bobblehead somewhere in my house because of one of your Bojangles beer pairing extravaganzas.
R.I.P.
I know, right? So what is that Voodoo Ranger program?
So Voodoo Ranger has been a character that we have used to represent all of our IPAs outside of Citradelic since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Each individual Voodoo Ranger beer, and I got a fun insider thing on this one, has its own character. With this Rotator, this guy is a Cobra Kai-looking guy. The one prior to this was 1985, where the guy was wearing a Cobra Kai bomber jacket.
Right.
And we actually made the bomber jackets. They're hot neon blue.
Nice.
With pink cobras on them, and they sold out in like 2 hours. We actually started a separate store for Voodoo Ranger called Voutique.
Okay.
And we sold out nearly every item in the first like 4 or 5 days.
Nice.
So we're action figures that come in like the Star Wars old packaging. Think like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be doing stuff for each individual brand. But something fun. So our Voodoo brand manager, Dave, he actually spent some time at NC State. And I finally got him to admit about 6 or 7 months ago that, it's probably longer ago than that, but who can tell with time anymore. All the different Voodoo Ranger hats are takes on Cam Newton's hats, and nobody wants to talk about it. Well, maybe this one aside because he's wearing a headband.
No, but Cam has done the headband.
That's under his helmet.
But if you look at the Juicy Haze Voodoo Ranger or just a straight up Voodoo Ranger,
I see it. Yeah,
they all have different hats, and you know.
But that's like an actual more of a Rangers hat, right? Like a park ranger.
Well, no,
type.
Like the initial Voodoo Ranger, just Voodoo Ranger off the IPA. That is. But yeah. Cam's also worn that hat.
Right, 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 yeah. Right.
And then you've got the Juicy Haze one where it's like a, I don't know how it's called, but like a gambler, Kenny Rogers, black brim hat with a ace boogie card on the side.
Almost like a fedora type
yeah.
look.
But he gets around with the different hats. Cam, didn't he cut a bill off a hat last year and wear it like a fez? He also wore a fez last year.
Why not?
You know, we're not here to talk about Cam.
New England's own.
I'm a big New England guy now.
PFF's number one rated quarterback through 2 weeks, but who's counting?
Does Bill Belichick look happier to you?
I think so. I mean, you saw what he was wearing today? Shirt with all the holes in it?
As I tweeted out, Bill Belichick had the expression of a man who thwarted yet another attempt by their significant other to throw out that nasty old sweater.
You can't throw it away if you're wearing it.
Right.
That's just science.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, no, I saw you try to get rid of this, but I'm going to put it on right now. Now you can't get rid of it. I mean, look, everybody has a single article of clothing that their significant other is embarrassed by, but you refuse to get rid of. Wait, I'm looking at you. I know. You got some old ratty-ass things.
Actually, I don't hold on to stuff like that.
Really?
I mean, I've got a couple of T-shirts back from when I had my Yamaha motorcycle franchise that, you know, we designed some T-shirts and things like that. And I've actually got the black 3/4 length shirt I used to wear under my high school baseball uniform.
Dude, I still got some old 850.
But that's it. I got a couple things like that.
I got some old 850 The Buzz shirts I refuse to get rid of.
Yeah, I mean, I got a few things like that. But I want to ask Chris a hard question now that we're talking about Cam Newton.
we're already jumping in.
So
let's go.
Today, through 2 weeks in the season, if you had the opportunity to go back 6 months and choose your quarterback, are you taking Teddy Bridgewater or are you taking Cam Newton?
Oh, I'm taking Cam 100 out of 100.
Me too.
I never wanted Teddy, and I don't fault Teddy.
He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with Teddy.
Who are hating on Teddy. Teddy got offered a contract, and Teddy hadn't got paid yet, so it's hard to fault Teddy.
It's a lot of those same people out there that were hating on Cam. No matter who you put there, they're going to hate on. But Cam Newton right now looks the best he's looked in probably 3 or 4 seasons, just health-wise.
And you know, the 2018 season, he was on pace to break all of his stats from 2015 till he took that illegal shot from T.J. Watt in the Pittsburgh game, and it was all downhill from there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys watched the All or Nothing on Amazon, but they chronicled it very well, you know, about that injury, and Cam just couldn't throw the ball.
But what's weird about the All or Nothing versus what we saw in the spring, if you missed the Amazon show, I would go back to that. If you're a Panthers fan and you didn't see All or Nothing, go back to that because I think it's a good postmortem on what has...
That whole era,
which and basically what led to the breakup, right? Why the guys who were on the front of the All or Nothing promotional stuff are no longer on the team. It was just time to move on in a different direction. It was David Tepper who was telling Ron Rivera, shut this thing freaking down, right, when it came to Cam Newton. But what I think is, this is what I wanted to bounce off of you. If the Panthers straight up said, because my theory is they did to Cam Newton what they had done to Steve Smith when Cam Newton was finally coming up and it was supposed to be his team. The identity of the team was going to be Cam Newton's team. That was not possible as long as Steve Smith was still in that room.
Well, I think part of that, too, is that they had never been able to develop wide receivers with Steve Smith there. I mean, they wasted a lot of draft
picks. But that gets back to the room.
Yeah.
That gets back to the room.
Sure.
Steve's personality was such that they could not move in the direction they wanted to go to if he was still there.
Yeah, he ran that locker room for sure.
So in this particular case, the same thing happened, but it happened to Cam Newton this time. Matt Rhule and David Tepper could not make that team theirs and their culture. And I think culture is an overrated word. They could not do that with Cam Newton still there. So they decided, fine, look, we're going to move on from you. Which, look, that's a justifiable reason.
Yeah.
If they just said it out loud.
And do it.
But they never
the right
did.
Way.
And they never did. And that's the problem.
You saw how... that's not distracting, right?
Oh, yeah. So for the reason why Chris just got suddenly distracted is apparently we have some social media influencing taking place while we're out here scratching.
Or just advertising for a local boutique.
Yeah.
That's what that is? Oh, okay, I didn't know if there was like social media advertising going on.
Oh, yeah, influencing being done.
What's so ironic, though, about the way it happened with Steve Smith and the way it happened with Cam, it was two completely different regimes. It was Jerry Richardson and Dave Gettleman got rid of Steve Smith, and it was David Tepper and Matt Rhule who opted to get rid of Cam. I think the one thing that you missed on that, Steve Smith said he was going to retire after that upcoming season anyway. So, you know, theoretically, that's the Super Bowl year, right, that we would have had with Steve Smith. Would that have happened with him? Hard to say. But with Cam, he was on the last year of his contract. He was the 19th highest paid quarterback in the league. And I just don't think that they wanted to have a lame duck quarterback in there, and they wanted to do a hard reboot. Like, if they were going to keep Cam, they would have extended him.
The thing is, it wasn't a hard reboot.
No, well, it depends who you ask.
Because before the Christian McCaffrey injury, they were oddly feisty. I think they were better than the 0-2 start would indicate if you actually watch the games. It's rookie coaching mistakes.
I thought the Raiders game was the most winnable game on the first half of the schedule.
Easily.
And the things that happened in that game, the poor clock management, yeah, I'll give you that.
The 4th-and-2?
The fake punt.
Like, well, the fake punt was in the Buccaneers game.
Which was also
atrocious. Fake punt from the Buccaneers 32. 36.
Yeah.
You should kick a field goal. I don't care if it's windy.
Right.
Joey Sly does better
in
difficult situations. A PAT, forget it. He's going to miss it.
Right.
But if you're looking at 70 yards and wind, Joey Sly is probably going to make it. So I never really understood the idea that they're trying to sell you on a hard reboot, but when you actually watch this team play offensively before the CMC injury, they're like, you know what? You weren't in the never for Trevor sweepstakes. You actually were feisty enough to maybe win some games. Your defense is bad, but you're feisty enough to win some games.
So I said at the beginning of the season that we're going to lose a lot of games 34-41.
Yes.
We're going to score some points. Now, if the offensive line can hold up, which I'm not sure it can because you started to see the cracks in it this week with turnover Teddy and all his stats. But
turnover Teddy.
I think that there's two forces at play here. You have Marty Herney, who is not under contract right now as the general manager of the team, who is general managing for his life because when he got fired the first time, he couldn't even get a call on another general manager job for a reason. I think he's 22 games under 500 for his career with the Panthers. And you have Matt Rhule, who's on a 7-year deal and has perhaps the longest leash in football, not named Bill Belichick. And Marty probably made some of these moves outside of, I'd say, Robbie Anderson because he's a Temple guy. Made these moves trying to save his own skin, where Matt Rhule was content to go 0-16, which I'll be honest, I still think is on the table, especially with Christian being out for the next 6 weeks. If you're 0-8, in what world do you bring that guy back?
Right, absolutely.
You know, now that he's out, what's that going to do to the passing game? Robbie Anderson's number two in the league in receiving yards. What's that going to do to your passing game? You just became a one-dimensional team.
Right. I was going to say it's going to force your passing game.
Yeah.
And
our offensive line has not been able to hold up under that.
Yeah. Well, might I just point out, Joe, football team's 1-1. Didn't show up too well, but still, hey, I'll take my win.
All right. Fair enough.
My son, however, is not pleased because he's a huge Panthers fan.
Tell him this is the best thing that could happen.
So as that carousel turned, you know, what set all that in motion, well, Cam got released and Brady went down to Tampa. I think the funniest thing I saw after week one was the meme of pouty Tom Brady sitting on the sideline, and one of my realtor friends had taken it and put, before you make your next move, consult a realtor. And I just thought it was hilarious. It was a great piece of advertising for that guy. But Brady was pouting, as Brady would sometimes do. But then I think the next funniest thing was this, when you hear that he and Arians are already at one another because Arians called him out publicly.
Yeah, he's used to getting braided in the locker room, not publicly.
Right.
You know?
Right. You get called out by the coach.
And I think that this might be the biggest pissing match we see in our life. Who has the better season, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? And I think it's, you know, 2 weeks in, I think it's pretty easy to say, I mean, they're both 1-1, but look, Bill's looking a lot better than Tom and Tampa is.
He's got a better quarterback.
Oh. That's true.
Ooh. Ooh, boy.
That's
Ooh,
true.
Boy. All right, so you sold on Matt Rhule yet?
I wanted them to hire Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy, yeah.
And I know that Eric Bieniemy did not come with what's that guy's name in Kansas City? The 15? What's the quarterback?
I believe his name is Patrick Mahomes.
That's him, the catch up on state guy.
Yeah.
I know that he did not come with him, but I still would have preferred him because. Yeah. NFL experience more than carrying luggage for Tom Coughlin 1 year. You know, the most prolific offense in NFL history. Well, up there with the greatest show on turf, at least. I think that we were more equipped for a guy like that. But again, it goes down to you have one guy who wants a total rebuild in Tepper, and you have Marty Herney, who's the opposite. Now, of course, David Tepper's making that call, but I'm not going to judge Matt Rhule right now. It's just not fair. I mean, Ron Rivera didn't learn how to call timeouts until the third year, so it's tough for me to judge him, but I definitely think that Matt Rhule is shooting for 0-16, without a doubt. Like, I'll be honest, guys, I was pretty upset. I have a Trevor Lawrence jersey on the way, and it was supposed to be delivered yesterday.
A Trevor Lawrence Panthers jersey?
Yes. I would have worn that today.
The Jets are going to give you a run for your
money.
Now,
the Jets suck. Like,
But, they're going to fire Adam Gase in a couple of weeks.
But the difference is the Jets still get to play the Dolphins two times. And
well, I don't think the Dolphins are – the Dolphins are eventually going to give way to Tua once Ryan Fitz,
sure.
Once the Fitz magic runs out again.
I think it already did.
Yeah, with an 0-2 start. With an 0-2 start.
The four picks week one pretty much.
Yeah, the Fitz magic. Fitz magic works better when you have to go to him in week nine.
Yeah, with nothing on the –
right.
The
low expectations.
Not the start of the season.
But Devontae Parker's hurt. You know, so that's not great.
Yeah, so we actually came out for the never. We actually released the never for Trevor, abhorrence for Lawrence, lose 16, 4-16, despair for the hair.
That's the winner, obviously.
Power rankings,
yeah,
right?
Despair for the hair.
Despair for the hair. We came out with those power rankings yesterday, and the Jets were number one.
Yeah,
but
they're bad.
But Christian McCaffrey's injury put the Panthers at number two.
Yeah,
all the other situations outside of Denver. They don't have any quarterbacks because they refuse to call Colin Kaepernick.
About? They got Blaine Gabbert yesterday.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Not Blaine Gabbert. Blake Bortles. Same thing.
Hey, was he? No. Gabbert was on he was on the SI cover with Cam Newton, right?
And Jake Locker, yeah.
Yeah, the most difficult decision in draft history.
Some people say the jury's still out.
No, but Denver, I think the top three right now would be the Jets, the Panthers, and the Broncos.
I would say the Giants over the Broncos.
But the thing is, I don't think you can't really make a proper assessment on Daniel Jones.
Well, it's not one player. It's the collective. They lost Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, that's
well.
The thing. But you can't properly judge Daniel Jones.
They have a first-year coach.
Yeah. Who I don't like.
Well, I mean, but, you know, it's the same thing in Denver then. Drew Locke's a rookie. He's only out for 3 weeks.
Fair enough. Should we get back to beer?
Yeah, might as well.
Let's get back to beer.
Right? Go football team. Anyway, before we go full on Washington football team podcast.
By the way, they should stick with that name.
Oh yeah, we don't have to say the R words anymore.
WFT.
No. They should have subverted expectations by calling.
Should have gone football club.
Football club.
Yeah.
But actually,
co-branding with DC. Co-branding with DC United.
It would have been hilarious if they called themselves the football club.
Yeah.
But once I saw them on the field with the numbers on the helmet.
They look good.
The branding, the numbers on the helmet look great.
The branding that went along with it in the end zone and all that stuff. I'm like, you might want to keep that, actually.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Red Wolves, guys.
I think Red Tails.
Red Wolves has the cult following right now.
I think Red Wolves.
And they're going all in on the concept art.
Ironically, the same guy owns all those trademarks.
This is true. But he could be bought out. He could be bought out. All right, so we did the higher plane.
Wait a minute. I got to say one more thing.
Yes.
Just talking about the R words. Is there anybody in football you feel worse than for Ron Rivera? Like, having to deal what he dealt with Jerry and everything in Carolina. And then,
I don't.
Well, you're right. He took the job voluntarily.
Yeah, two things. One, two reasons why.
I think he's the best guy for the job, honestly.
I like Ron Rivera, but this is where the line will then stop at, do I feel bad for him? For two reasons. The first one is what you just alluded to. It's not like we just found out Daniel Snyder's a horrible dude and that Redskins organization is one of the worst-run organizations in all of sports, not just the NFL. Number two. Did he have to say Jerry on three?
No.
When all that stuff happened with with Jerry Richardson? No, he didn't. But he did. So, look, good dude, all that stuff. I get all that. But there are enough instances with Ron Rivera where I'm kind of like, that wasn't necessary. He didn't need to do that.
I just meant the cancer thing too.
There is that. I mean, the dude's getting an IV
during
the middle of the freaking game.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a power move.
That is a power move.
Go football team.
Okay, on
back
beer.
To beer.
So we just had Summer Bliss.
Which is awesome.
You know, that's the first time I've had it.
That beer is going to crush it.
Call me crazy, but
it tastes like straight juice.
I was going to say it tasted straight like Mountain Dew, like in the best way imaginable.
It was real heavy on the mango. It has some sweetness, but it's got a nice, it dries up pretty well.
It's nice and hazy, which... I don't know if you heard, but Hazy's hot right now.
Hazy's hot right now, but man, that like takes me back to like fruited wheat beers a few years ago. And there's still a few of them out there, but that beer is going to be very well.
Purple Haze. Remember that one?
What was that, a Beta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was the first one I ever had.
All right, what's next?
All right, so in full disclosure, I'm
7%, guys.
I'm trying all these for the first time with you.
Okay.
So I'm not.
Did you pour some of this?
Super duper familiar on all these tasting notes.
So this is Wild Ride.
This is Wild Ride. This is next year is New Belgium's 30th anniversary of being in business, and wow, this is the commemorative beer to celebrate that. It is a hoppy take on Fat Tire. If you guys remember,
that's ridiculously good.
About 4 or 5 years ago, we did the Fat Tire and Friends 12-pack.
Yes.
Where we collaborated with Firestone Walker, Rheingeist, Avery, Hub. Who else did we do it with?
I remember that podcast.
Who else did we do it with?
Funkworks? Is that one of them?
No. It wasn't anybody. The Avery was the only Colorado one. It was supposed to be Dogfish Head, but they backed out.
I remember the packaging and stuff. I've
got all 5 of the posters up in my garage.
Yeah.
Anyway, the best feedback we got from that is like, oh man, we love the hoppy takes on Fat Tire, and so you know, the world is a different place than it was 30 years ago, and you know, amber ales were crazy and outside the box then, and now an amber ale, not necessarily dime a dozen, but it's a style, and so this is just us. This isn't by any means going to be the new Fat Tire recipe, but it's a modern take on Fat Tire.
It is not Fat Tire for sure. It is maybe Fat Tire meets some kind of hazy IPA. It's really good.
Hear me out here. This tastes like 2010. Like sort of piney, sort of citrusy. I get that little bit of like maltiness that you used to get from those kinds of IPAs.
It's got some juiciness to it though. It does not have bitterness.
Like no.
In 2010... bitter led the way.
Yeah,
that's actually
90 IBUs or less.
It's funny. Yeah. It's funny you had to mention that because that was my initial thought. Like, I don't get the piney. It definitely tastes more like what you would expect out of an IPA today.
I know,
it's good.
I get a little. Maybe it's just the malt that I'm getting from it because it is an IPA amber ale.
Yeah,
hybrid. So maybe it's just
it's
the malt
got some dankness to it. Definitely some like tropical flavors.
It doesn't drink like 7%.
Mm-mm.
That's for sure.
None of these have that though. That higher plane is 8.5, and you never know it.
People like high octane, it turns out. I mean,
I can't do it anymore. I can do taste and appreciate it and know it's delicious because all 3 of these beers have been. But even that summer wheat is 5.6. Like, that's the upper end of my enjoyment scale these days.
And meanwhile, we had a 3.8 purist over here. You wouldn't believe, like, I'll give everybody a guess. What's New Belgium's number one selling beer right now?
It's not Fat Tire. It's Voodoo Ranger.
Well,
Imperial, really?
By a country mile.
I was about to say like, Imperial because I actually see Imperial in the aisle.
It's everywhere.
And when I
but Rampant wasn't
correct.
Rampant was like a season, wasn't it? A limited release.
It was
year round.
It was year round.
I remember Mundy did a tasting at Bottle Riff years ago. Mm-hmm. It was the first time I tasted Rampant.
And that was like 150 IBUs. Yeah. No, it's strange how those things work. You know, Rampant never took off. It never had a big market, but Imperial 12 packs, it's the number one dollar 12 pack in North Carolina.
Wow.
It's the number one volume 12 pack in North Carolina. It's insane.
I would have never guessed that. I would have figured, cause you said Tuffy was 3. I would have said Fat Tire, Ranger, Old Tuffy.
Yeah.
So it's Imperial Voodoo Ranger. Mm-hmm.
Then Fat Tire,
yeah. And then Old Tuffy. Wow.
It's all about 12 packs. You know, the other crazy thing is, even with all that volume, we don't carry Imperial Draft anywhere in the state. That volume is 100% package driven.
Yeah. How does that compare to last year, I wonder?
It was number one last year
as
well.
It was still number one. Was it number one as, now, not in terms of package, but just total volume? You know what I'm saying? Because
this
year is obviously package heavy.
I believe it was number one last year in terms of volume.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But part of that thing is people who are shopping in grocery stores are most of the time shopping to get turnt at home. And they don't mind having 3 or 4 8.5%ers at home.
Sure.
We're not going out to a bar and having 3 or 4 of those to start the night.
They want to feel they get their money's worth. when they're buying it at home on their couch.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, it
when you're out to dinner, you want to be able to make it home.
It would make sense that you would take it up a notch if, I mean, look, kind of circling back to the start of this conversation, I knew on Saturday while I was watching college football hanging out in my backyard, I don't have to come home from the game. I'm there, so why not?
Also, who let my cat out?
Roy was not out on Saturday.
Did you name him Roy because you hate State so much you named him after Roy Williams?
No, actually, you want to know this?
We went through this. During the Ranch Water podcast.
Yes, clearly Wayne does not remember.
I don't remember either.
Yeah, Wayne does not remember the fact that the reason why he's called Roy is because of an old MTV show that Kelly and I used to watch called Syphil and Ollie.
I do remember that. But I didn't watch MTV shows, so it didn't stick with me.
Before we get to the next beer, I want to talk about a beer that I already crushed. It's called The Purist.
The Purist Clean Lager.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have to say.
I love watching Chris's face during this part of the conversation.
The Purist Clean Lager. It's organic. It's 95 calories. It's 3 carbs. It's 3.8% alcohol by volume. It's a skinny can. I've never seen this before out of New Belgium, nor did I expect this out of New Belgium, even though you guys have done things that have gone towards, not trends per se, but trying to cater to markets that might be underserved. Like, you guys had gluten-y.
Correct.
For a long time.
Well, you can only make so many IPAs.
This is true.
You know.
So, with this, I drank it fast, and I would consider this... This is something that if it's a hot day and I'm on the golf course, I'm drinking this.
It's a warm-up beer, something to get your heart rate up.
No, honestly, like...
Well, you would need 4 or 5 of those to get your heart rate up at 3.8%.
Yeah, 3.8%. Yeah.
And they'd have to go in quick succession.
Yeah.
Like, this is something that I will have in the back of a cooler in my golf cart. I mean, that's what you're going for. Okay.
You know, it's made for the gym rat who, you know, doesn't want to drink a beer loaded with rice and corn at the end of the day that wants something... full flavored, and you know, it isn't got a bow tie and an eagle on it.
It went fast.
That's what it's supposed to be.
I mean, it went real fast.
Yeah. It was fleeting.
I was surprised at how quickly I drank that beer. So that's out now. That is a New Belgium beer. It actually has some flavor to it, which not a lot
flavor
of those
town.
Types. I wouldn't go full flavor town, but it has a little bit of flavor. I mean, you are dealing with just three
different flavor town.
Different
sorry,
flavor.
Adam,
Flavorville.
Adam. No, we're not doing this. All right, flavor moving town. On.
I'm not taking any Guy Fieri slander, by the way, guys.
Flavor
no,
town.
You have
the wrong side of the tracks.
You have a Guy Fieri cooler, for heaven's sake.
You know? Do you guys know the story on these?
Fieri.
No.
So he partnered with Igloo. They did these coolers right at the beginning of the shutdown, and 100% of the sales from every cooler went to the Restaurant Relief of America Fund. And they sold out 3 different runs of these coolers, all going to support grants for out-of-work hospitality workers. So
that's a great cause.
I think Guy gets a bad rap sometimes, but I don't know.
I love him.
I don't know
but
anybody
But I also
who's
love
done,
him because he's a punching bag, too.
Like, yeah. Sure.
And he knows it.
Right.
And he owns it.
And he lives every minute of it. Like, he doesn't back down because of it.
I got into it with somebody a couple months ago, over Guy, and they're like, he's just such a tool. We didn't, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's like, name somebody who's done more for local restaurants and local bars on a national scale than he has.
And he's entertaining. He's at the same time, he's entertaining. He's not.
And he knows what he's talking about
because somebody gives him some crap.
And he knows what he's talking about. I appreciate that. So, all right, next beer.
Back to flavor time.
I have Star Wars igloos that I got at the beginning of the pandemic.
Smart. Those are pretty. The C-3PO.
I got the C-3PO, and because it fits inside the C-3PO, I got the R2-D2 little
thermos,
that little playmate.
Oh.
The little one.
The only thing they made in the Flavortown collection. Yeah. When I was really sad and lonely back early April, I put a framed picture of Guy Fieri in my garage. That way I had to drink alone. So
you really connected with him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my wife, for my birthday, got me a sign that said Flavortown Drive. So I put that up in the garage.
All right. Last beer.
Dominga. So this will be...
I guess I'll pour it for you, Joe.
Thank you. That's service.
Hate to make you break a sweat.
This will be our big sour play for next year. I know you mentioned, you said that Kelly was loving the sour IPA.
Yeah.
She's probably going to dig this.
She was like low-key sad because we went to the Wegman and they had the sour IPA a while back. And she went through them quickly. And then she's like, and then they had like one four-pack left.
Six-pack.
Yeah. It was a smaller pack. Anyway, we had gone back to Wegmans, and there was only like one box left. So we immediately got it, and she was like, well, better get it now, because I don't know when this is coming back.
It's forever.
But it's forever, okay. Yeah. Because when she saw it again, she's like, oh, I guess they brought it back. But this is something that you guys actually, the sour IPA is something you guys are sticking with.
Yes.
Okay. So she's been a big fan of that throughout the pandemic. And when you had me, what is this, a mimosa sour? Mimosa sour.
It's incredible.
This is really good.
It tastes like Capri Sun. Mm-hmm. At
6%. 6%.
Yeah.
At 6%.
Man, imagine how much better childhood would have been at 6% Capri Suns.
So since we're at Scratch in Apex, that would be Scratch Kitchen and Tap Room in downtown Apex. Mimosas go well with breakfast, but also that in-house Bloody Mary that you guys do, wow. Just wow. One of the best Bloody Marys I've ever had. It's so good. I just want to say that because we're talking about mimosas and Bloody Marys are typically breakfast
drinks.
Are you
just angling for more Chex Mix?
I'm angling for some of that Bloody Mary mix to take home.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Because if I could get like a half gallon of that to go like every Friday morning for the weekend would be fantastic.
I see you now. I see you working.
It's a really good Bloody Mary.
Okay.
I don't know if I can get you the mix. I can definitely get you the recipe.
Man, I could drink a lot of that.
This back to this mimosa sour though. It's really good.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a true like sour like turn your mouth inside out, it's not. If you like mimosas, you're gonna love this beer.
When you get that little bit of orange rind, the white part. Like I'm even getting that on my tongue.
Yeah, it's every bit of. I like it better than mimosa.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel as filling as mimosas get. Fill me up.
Did we mention this at the front that Chris is also trying some of these beers for the first time?
Yeah, yes. He said it.
Oh, okay.
You were probably on your phone.
Probably. Look, man, I have to handhold new radio people.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh.
At Jillio. Some point, they're going to be pissed at when they hear this.
Listen to this.
At some point, Jillio will get to the point like gold where I could just roll in at 255 and not worry about anything.
Yeah. But there's that's obvious work ethic we all know.
That is my work ethic, but I'm in a position now where I have to do a lot of hand holding with him and Jonathan Rand. So, It's true.
Sometimes we just have to let it all hang out on a Wednesday here.
It's true.
So does that mean you're the team leader now?
Unfortunately, yes. And management made that decision. So I told them, I warned them, but here we are. Anyway, so I like this.
I could even see like still putting a champagne floater on this.
Mm-hmm. Champagne floater wouldn't hurt, especially just for a fun little extra, you know, little extra head look.
I could use a little more carbonation on it, I think, too. That might be what I'm missing because my brain is saying mimosa, but it's carbonated like a beer.
Yeah, it's and especially after it sits for a minute, it's really, it's like every aspect. Like I'm getting champagne now.
Yeah,
I actually am.
I really
getting
enjoy
those
this.
Flavors. It's very nice.
So you'll be able to find this right beside the sour IPA once this comes around. And I was thinking,
pour it into a wine glass and just be done with it. You don't need to buy orange juice or champagne.
We're cutting the middleman out. You can go green by drinking this because no glass, no labels.
I like it.
It's really good.
You know, one thing I also have to bring up, since we have plenty of time and you don't have to get back to Raleigh anytime
soon. Absolutely not.
Nope. A couple of weeks ago, and this is one of our big plays on kind of getting back to our roots with Fat Tire, Fat Tire became the first carbon neutral beer in the world.
How does one become a carbon neutral beer?
Well, there's a lot of science and analytical geometry.
That you're not.
And just,
yeah, no.
You know, offsetting footprints of Bigfoot.
But that's something that New Belgium's been about, because I know that's
for a long time.
That's part of the, if anybody's ever done the tour of the Liquid Center out in Nashville, they'll tell you about.
Sustainability is huge.
Sustainability is huge, and a lot of the things that you had to do to make that place work.
Well, it was the first platinum LEED certified brewery in the U.S.
Yeah.
And that is not easy and not cheap.
No.
But with the carbon footprint thing, it's essentially, you know, paying a higher carbon tax on purpose to offset. We planted something like 100,000 trees
nice
across the world to, again, help offset the plan. We did this I don't want to call it a PR stunt, but I have to because I can't think of a better way to describe it. We did it in Chicago, New York, San Francisco, Denver, and a few other major markets across the country where people went into stores and a six-pack of Fat Tire was $100. And the idea was, guys, climate change is real. Like, this is what this is doing to our crops. This is what it's eventually going to cost you to drink a six-pack of beer.
I've heard those commercials on the radio.
If we don't, yeah, we had those on some satellite radio channels and on some internet radio channels. But
not familiar with those.
It's oh man, my bad. We'll delete that part.
Yeah, I was gonna say what's satellite one.
I'm trying to think of what. Oh, podcast. It was listening to podcasts. I heard it on that.
Could be podcast.
That's what it
right
was.
Now, too.
Really? So, yeah. You mean New Belgium advertised on a podcast that wasn't ours?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's weird. I didn't know that either.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what it was.
I can tell you what
probably
it was.
Smartless or
it
something.
It wasn't my department, I can tell you that.
Well, I don't listen to internet radio. It had to have been a podcast.
But the whole idea is just, you know, trying to wake people up to what's going on.
Yeah,
and just how much climate change is affecting the beer industry amongst everything else. I mean, there's already fear next year because of the fires in Oregon and Washington about hop yields for next year. Right
makes
now,
sense.
There's not enough aluminum to go around. Not that that has anything to do with fires, but... The malt tax, the import tax, I'm sure you've had to deal with that from Canada. You know, it's...
There have been multiple factors this year that
beer is
are out
get,
of the ordinary for
beer
sure.
Beer is going to get really expensive over the next 3 or 4 years. We said that $100 six-pack was 50 years away, but who knows if the, you know, the earth continues to change the way it is and farms are affected the way they are, there's really no telling, so...
Sure. Well, that was an uplifting way to finish this thing out, Joe. What do you think?
Yeah. How about we close it on something that's even more uplifting than that? Carolina Panthers football. Oh.
Well, I thought we already completely exhausted
you guys,
this one.
I am not.
I know.
This is the least I've ever been stressed about a season.
Yeah, because you knew exactly what. You know who all the stress is on in the NFC
Washington football
South?
Team.
Tom Brady.
It's on Drew Tom Brady.
Call me.
It's on Drew Brees.
But hey, think about it like this. You've got a 66-year-old Tom Brady. 91-year-old Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. Matt Ryan's about to turn 40.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, look pretty good.
Hey, look,
I made
that argument when all this was going on. You got to. It's kind of like NC State basketball. Position yourself so that you can make the jump when the other guys get gone.
You know, I also think that
when Roy retires,
they've been trying to position themselves since Val Vano.
I don't care
left.
If it's been 30 years. I'm just saying you got to position yourself.
What was that Kevin Costner movie where he was a Russian spy?
The Postman.
No, he was a
Water
Russian
World.
Spy.
Water World.
That was it.
Yeah,
Russian spy.
Yeah, Water World.
You just lay in the grass and wait for the right opportunity. But Carolina is going to have $1 billion in cap space
they
next
are.
Year.
Yeah, they are.
But you look at the most recent teams to win the Super Bowl outside of. The Patriots and the Broncos, or even the teams to make it, they're making it with rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The Seahawks haven't been as good once they had to pay Russell. I mean, they're still very good.
They're still good.
And he's the best quarterback in football, but they can't afford to pay Earl Thomas to stick around.
Yeah, there's no Legion of Boom to go around
correct.
With it.
And so I think that's the formula to win in the NFL right now is a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal. If you can manage to keep DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Curtis Samuel together for 2 years, maybe find someone who can play linebacker because we currently don't have any. Also, both of our starting safeties rank 76 and 75 out of 76 at PFF right now. So I love Trey Boston, but come on, dog.
I was going to say, if you were expecting anything more out of Trey Boston.
Trey will get it together, but I think it's just because everything in front of him is playing so bad that he's getting hung out to dry.
Yep.
And I don't think Justin Burris is a dumpster fire either, but they're both – Trey is a good safety in the NFL. He's a good safety. He wouldn't have the stats that he has over the last 4 years if he wasn't.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the 919 Beer Podcast and Panthers Talk Podcast.
Why didn't we have Brownlow today? Come on.
Brownlow's like bunkered in her house, man. She's not leaving. She's not leaving right now.
Shout out to Doomsday Preppers.
Unless she goes to Disney, which she did, but that's another story altogether. What do we got coming next week?
I don't know. I'm trying to look with one hand. I'm not very successful.
Did she get to ride Rise of Resistance?
Yes. I think so.
Wow.
I'm looking at going in February.
If I know I could go down there and get on it, I would go.
Yeah. I know you've tried.
Oh, yeah, I tried.
But you never got a boarding group, right?
No.
Yeah. Where we punted on a trip that we were supposed to do in July.
Yeah.
But obviously they weren't even open yet.
Yeah.
So, and not like we were going to be the first ones there anyway. But based on my brother going plenty of times, they seem to be doing the protocols and everything else. And even Brallo said she felt safer in Disney than she has anywhere else around here.
Yeah, I was at Disney in mid-February.
Yeah.
It was right before everything really hit the fan.
Yeah. So we'll see. We might go in February, and I'll finally get to Rise to the Resistance. What do we got coming up next week?
Norse Brewing. We're at Norse Brewing
next week. Oh, I'm very excited about that.
That means lunch and beers.
Speaking of really good in-house Bloody Marys, I went there for brunch this past Sunday.
Okay, Wayne.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop trying to get free Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary podcast. Yeah,
stop trying to make a Bloody Mary mix thing happen.
I feel like Wayne's like just walking in the room and saying something random. It just
actually is.
That's what I try to do.
It actually is Wayne's new shtick. It's just like, oh wait, Wayne's here. When did he show up?
Well, here's the problem. So
he's like a beef squash.
So when COVID hit, we went from 4 microphones to 3.
I know.
So now I just like
because we only had so many microphones.
So now I just sit on the sideline. I grab it from Adam every once in a while to say something, and then I hand it back.
I'll see if I can grab another microphone next week.
Then it won't be so random.
You know what? It's a good point. We'll see y'all next week.
Cheers.
Party on.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, and you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.